So I'm going to end up in the book of Acts today. It is, I thought, so fascinating that it's Pentecost Sunday, and it is the long weekend. I thought, oh, man, this is usually when the numbers are lower in a church because people are outside because it's so nice and you're on vacation. But you're here this morning, you're going to hear the Pentecost message. And I want to share a couple moving parts with you in it. I want to start with, like, when I think about the word Pentecost and what happened on Pentecost, I want to just precursor that just for a second. I want to talk about something that was going on just prior to Pentecost. And then in Acts chapter 2, I want to read Pentecost, and I want to teach you, I want to show you something that I just learned. It's going to be so good. I'm already excited about it. I can't wait to get there, but I got to just kind of lay a bit of a foundation before we get there. So let's jump into Acts chapter 1, just right in verse 1. In my far more book, though, this would be the apostle, so this is Luke writing this, and Luke and Acts, they actually read really well together if you ever read them. Said, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. And after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. And so God, Jesus, is commanding his people to wait. Something's about to happen, and it's going to be a gift for you. And so when I look through that lens, that Jesus is commanding his people, his disciples at that point, commanding them to wait here, because I'm going to give you something from my heavenly Father. So when I think about, you know, okay, now that was for those people. There was a time it was written. Is it a command for us today? And I'm going to look at that. I'm going to show you something. I hope that will answer that question very, very clearly for you, because you might be thinking, like, you know, okay, I understand Pentecost and Holy Spirit. I remember, I understand the time that was written, and maybe it was just for that season. But is it seriously a command for me today? And I want to look at that, you know, in depth. Because you hear me talk about often, I say, hey, we all have different gifts and talents, and when people become members, they're serving in different, we all serve in different ways. Don't have me on the worship team. Don't have me on that whatever team. I'll be terrible. But in certain areas, God has gifted you and I. But what we're commanded to do, each and every one of us, and you hear this time and time again, read your Bible. You don't have a Bible, we'll give you a Bible. If you're too nervous to come and get a Bible, take the Bible that's in the pew in front of you. Just take it. Go ahead. Merry Christmas. You know, have a free gift. We're commanded to pray. We've looked at that many, many times before. We talk about it, and I'll talk about it a little bit more later. We are commanded to do certain things. Is it possible that we could also be commanded to receive this thing from heaven? Oh, my gosh, it's going to be so good. The Holy Spirit's a gift from above, and we want to receive it. And it's a promise of something. It's a promise of what? What would it guarantee for us? Let's look at that in depth. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. I want to answer this question for you. Then we'll move on to Acts chapter 2, and we'll learn some stuff together that I just found out. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth. Here's the word. The gospel of your salvation. This is the gospel. Brings us salvation. If we believe it, having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guarantee our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise be the glory. Okay. If you are ever wondering, you know, have I said the prayer? I said the prayer probably a million times. I was like, I just want to triple check with God, just make sure he heard me. I want to make sure I had the right heart and whatever you want to say. I wanted to make sure I was going to heaven. Now, you know, there's times in life where you kind of, things are tough and things are different. I'm like, would you ever question that? Are you sure? Like, is my name in the book? Am I going to make it for sure? We have these kind of questions. And we see here so clearly that the Holy Spirit is a deposit. It's a mark and a seal. You wonder why when we think about Satan, the enemy, whatever you want to call him, the devil, he has something called the mark of the beast. Well, he stole it from God. you know, God had this idea, hey, just you know what I'm going to do? And he's like, well, that's a good idea. Well, Mark, I'm going to mark some people myself too. So we see here so clear that God started that idea first. I'm going to mark people with a seal so that they would be firm and sure and secure of their eternal destination. You and I are marked with that. And so would that be, if you see it like that, would the word of truth, it's the gospel, the good news that brings us salvation. If we believe that in verse 13, we will be marked with a seal and the promised Holy Spirit. Do you think that would be important? Do you think that might be leaning towards a command? Because if you believe this and you receive it and it brings you freedom, would you say, okay, that's good enough. Well, stop there, stop. Whoa, hold the bus. I'm good here. I got my get out of jail free card. I got my go to heaven card. And I'm good right there. And then you just leave it there. Is that what the scripture says, though? No. We get marked in some way. Now, you know, okay, so you look around the room. You look at each other. Be careful. Be gentle. And you think, okay, who's marked with this Holy Spirit thing? How do you know? if you looked in the mirror, you think, oh, my God, I'm getting older. You know, he's like, how do you know? How do you sense it? I want to look at some scripture with you again to kind of help answer that question. Let's just finish off the story here in Acts chapter 1. Let's go back, sorry, to Acts chapter 1. That's where we're going to spend a lot of time. So let's finish off the story there in Acts chapter 1. So John, in verse 5, baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at the time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? I love it how the disciples are just like, Lord, you just got to just smash out the enemy. You just got to take out the government. You know, if you would show up, it would all be good. And then watch how, you know, he responds. He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates. That's why anybody talks about end times and prophetic stuff. You're just like, that's just ridiculous. Because only our Heavenly Father knows the time and the date that he's going to return. The Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in Judea and Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. So when we receive the Holy Spirit, we become witnesses for him. And so how do we witness about truth, and how do we witness the good news? How do we do that? It's the way that we live and act and interact with this world, isn't it? I know that, you know, my workplace before I was a pastor and, you know, I was going to church and people, they didn't have to ask me. And you do the same thing. I know this. I know your workplace. I've seen you guys in the community. People don't have to ask you if you're Christian. There's evidence of it in your gentleness, in your love and concern for people, in your generosity, in the way that you carry yourself, the way that you handle situations. It's very, very evident, isn't it? So how do we know that there's clear indicators, I think? So let's look into Acts chapter 2. Let's look at the day of Pentecost and for some fun. And if you're taking notes, take notes. If you're not taking notes, take notes. There's no light bulb going to go on. The light bulb's going to blow up. When you see this thing, it's just going to be, oh, so I was so excited when I saw this. It's like, you're kidding me. Why haven't I seen that before? It's so good. And so Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house and where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Okay, there's a lot going on here, and there's a lot of ways we could look at that and preach it. I want to focus on one thing here just for a moment. Most of us would feel, when we read this in the title of it, the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost, most of us would feel that we want Pentecost in our lives, and we want Pentecost in our church. And so what does that actually mean, though? Because Pentecost, it only means, if you look at the root word of that, it just means 50, penti. It just means the 50th day. Okay, hey, we want 50th day in our church. Yeah, I want 50th day in my life. Like, well, what does that actually represent? What does that mean? What does that do for us? And so I want to look at some of those moving parts. is that word means, and we would kind of maybe think about as a Pentecostal church, you know, we've got Pentecost, you know, we're Pentecostals, and we should kind of, you know, I would say this often, like, we should own the market on the Holy Spirit because we're Pentecostals, you know, we should get this stuff. But I wanted to look at it a little bit further, because if we look at that day, if what I just read there, which we would refer to the Pentecostal movement sometimes, is like, it's just wild, man. This is crazy. Swinging from chandeliers, raising hands, Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, you know, all this wonderful things that we're thinking about that happened the day of Pentecost that we want in our churches. And for some mainstream churches, we're kind of like, oh, that guy's Pentecostal. Like, be careful around him, right? I remember one time when I first got saved, it was so sweet. I was volunteering at a Baptist camp. And this isn't a negative, please. I shouldn't have said that. I apologize. Okay, I was serving another denomination's camp, and I just felt led to, I was just, you know, a counselor, I just felt led to go pray for the speaker just before he went up, and I just went over and said, it's okay if I just pray for you, lay my hands on you, just, you know, in Jesus' name, you know, have a great time, hopefully the message is good. And he's, are you Pentecostal? I said, what, how, you know, come on, like, what was it that just made, you know? And so anyways, it just was interesting that sometimes when we think about Pentecost, sometimes it's just a little bit different in some of the things that we would kind of take out of that. So within the 50-day mindset, though, this is what I just kind of learned. Everything that's in the New Testament, you can find in the Old Testament, can't you? Let's go find 50 days in the Old Testament together. It's going to be good. Here we go. Let's go to the book of Acts. Let's go way back, way, way, way back. So in the book of Acts, I'm in Acts. I'll go way back. We got to go further back than that. We've got to go to Exodus. I apologize. All the way back to Exodus. Okay, so we're not going to read the scriptures. I'm just going to kind of, you know, overarching do it. So, you know, you'll agree with me, and we can talk later if we're not in agreement. At that time, there was God's chosen people living in slavery. And we talk about this often when God said to sacrifice animals on the day of Passover, and we'll slaughter this lamb and put the blood on the doorposts of your house so that when the death angel basically comes to take the firstborn child, he'll see the blood of the lamb on your doorpost and your son won't pass away. Your firstborn won't pass away. The death angel will pass over. That's where we get this kind of word, Passover. And so God released the Israelites from that kind of bondage and that captivity, and they started wandering. They started going out, and they went through the Red Sea, and they went through a bit of the wilderness, and they ended up at Sinai, at Mount Sinai, where Moses, he goes up the mountain. He has this intimate moment with the Lord. And when he comes down from the mountain, he has the Ten Commandments written on stone. And we think about that just for a moment. We think about, like, in the Old Testament, an example and a type and a shadow of Jesus Christ was this character, Moses. Now, he wasn't perfect. We all understand that. He was a human. We all understand that. But it was an example or type and shadow of that. So we see an individual go up, and we see an individual come down with commandments written on stone. If you're following me, you're checking with me right now. If we look closely at that, when we come to the parallel in the New Testament, what's happening here? We see Jesus going up. And what comes down? The Holy Spirit comes down. And so that when Jesus goes up, he doesn't bring us a bunch of laws again, because we know how laws work in our world. More laws isn't going to fix the problem. We actually need something personally. And so God and Jesus send down the Holy Spirit so that he can write his laws where? Come on. Wow, isn't that powerful? So when we look in the Old Testament, that story, after Passover, 50 days till they got the law from the mountain. In the New Testament, we see 50 days, we see Holy Spirit come down and speak to us. That's the parallel passage. So when we think about Pentecost, we think every Bible-believing church congregation needs Pentecost, because we need to get past laws and rules. I don't know about you. When I first got saved, like, you bunch of Christian losers, bunch of, you know, you can't do anything. What's wrong with you? You got all these rules and regulations. I don't want to be a part of that garbage, right? That's how we thought. And then we got saved and we realized that it was personal. It was intimate. And how can we stop doing so? How can we stop our addictions? How can we stop our fear? How can we stop our worries? It's not about something written down. It's something personal. It's internal. And Ben, as you pick these songs, I just feel like it's so prophetic. We think about from the inside out. It has to happen from the inside out. And then the second song is about, like, you know, Yahweh, like, you've got to breathe on us. You've got to come down and speak to us. You've got to breathe in. Like God spoke into a bunch of dirt and mud. We breathed on it and we became alive. And so it's the same for us today. God's got to breathe into us. It's not going to come down, Jesus, come back down like, oh, you bunch of boneheads, you know, just slapping you around with a bunch of rules and, stone tablets. Like, that's not going to fix anything. Have you ever tried to do that to your kid? I told you, what's wrong with you? I'm 10 minutes, I got to tell you. You know, like, actually, he's got to learn it. It's got to become part of him so that when he faces it and he leaves your house, that your son and your daughter will still follow Jesus because it's something here. It's not a bunch of rules you give them, do and don't. They've got to find it. They've got to connect with it. Isn't that just wonderful? Isn't that so cool that Jesus was like, yes, Holy Spirit, we need you. And I need Holy Spirit. And so, is it a commandment? I'll leave that one with you. Now, here in the New Testament, we see again the book of Acts, you know, just all these wonderful things happening. And so, often when we think about that specific time, the way that it happened, it was powerful. And so if we look out into the world, like what kind of like earthly things are powerful and moving and shaking? And we think about like, say, a hurricane. And so if you had some kind of gadgets and technology and we see on the internet, like there's this hurricane moving towards so-and-so and you better get out of Dodge, you know, basically like your house is going to get smashed to splinters. It's a type, whatever percentage it is, and it's going to knock everything down and your house is going to go flying, the dog's house is going to fly, trees are going to fall down. And so you check, I got to get out of here. And so you leave. But when the Holy Spirit comes in and when the Holy Spirit comes down, don't evacuate. Don't run away. Run towards it. Isn't that so contrary to the world? We run away from all of our stuff and our problems and our fears and our concerns. But God's saying, why don't you run to me? Why don't you run to it and let me kind of shake things up? Now, I'm a father of four, so I love books. I love reading books to my kids. And so Owl at Home is a very good book. You know, recommend it to you. Highly recommend it. There's a wonderful story in there about winter. And so Owl, he's up in his tree, and, winter comes, and he's just kind of hibernating in there, and winter starts knocking on his door. And Owl's like, I don't want winter in my house. And he keeps knocking, and so finally Owl's like, okay, winter, why don't you come in and have a cup of tea with me, and then you can leave. But winter comes in and just fills the house with snow, and then Owl's like, what, get out of here. And it's similar to us. The Holy Spirit is knocking at your door all the time. And will you let him in? And so often we're hesitant, and I'm hesitant because I'm like, if you come in, I know what's going to, there's some house cleaning. There's going to be some backyard, cleaning up. There's going to be some closet cleaning up. And so I'm like, you can come in a little bit, just a little bit of Holy Spirit. Okay, slow down, and close the door again. That's enough. That's all I can handle today. But I pray in Jesus' name that we would just swing it wide open and say, come and make, this seems negative, but come make a mess. But come shake things up. Because I need some shaking. I need some refreshing. I need to be set free in Jesus' name. And I pray that that would happen. And this happens sometimes in life where we see these, these monumental moments. I don't know. We probably all have a story we can think back to. If I asked you about, like, when did God really show up in your life? Or when did the Holy Spirit really show up? And you've got these moments, maybe it was a handful of them. And so for me, my story, most of you. So New Year's 2000, again, I lived 23 years away from the Lord and, addicted and all these kind of things, all these fears and worries. And the next day, man, Holy Spirit showed up and I was set free. I just said, come on in. And he came on in and he cleaned house. And so you have those moments. But what about the other moments between those moments? Because so often we're praying, like, oh, God, bring a revival, just shake our whole community up. And we're waiting for these mountain moments. But is there other moments in our journey, in our walk as well? And I believe super, super strongly that there is. And so we'll look at last Sunday. If you were here, if you weren't, I'll just kind of bring you up to speed. We had some altar time at the end. So I spoke and I just said, I really felt God saying, why don't you invite people to the altar and just to receive from him and be touched by him? And so we did that. Right? There's many people came up. They were just on their knees, you know, they're just kind of worshiping God. And so it was a quiet moment. It was very orderly. It was very personal. Is that a Pentecost moment? Is that a Holy Spirit moment? Is that as big of a moment as these ground-shaking moments? Absolutely, isn't it? And so many of you, I even came and talked to you, and you didn't feel comfortable, or you weren't kind of ready to come to the front, or that just isn't where you land, and you're just in your seats, and I came to you, and I was talking to you, and you're just like, oh, just the Holy Spirit's speaking to me right now, and just, it was very intimate. And so don't downplay them, because often we think like, oh, I just need something massive to happen. I really need just a gigantic shakeup. But it's that journey with the Lord, those big mountaintops and those small quiet moments. And it's the whole thing together. It's not one or the other. And so I pray that you would just receive that. You'd say, yeah, Lord, I just need a little touch from you today, and tomorrow I'm going to need a big touch. Both are good. Both are biblical. And so, you know, what can we draw from that? What can we take away from, you know, learning that Pentecost, that's a big moment. I think it's very scriptural. I think it's very biblical. I think we should receive it. I think it is a command. God is saying, you know, this is a deposit, so it's guaranteeing, you know, your inheritance. I think those are super important. But in that moment, if you plant yourself there, I love, put yourself in the story. I love being like in the story, thinking, okay, let's go to that story. Let's be in that moment. Let's picture what was happening. And so, you know, you're with Jesus, and like he was crucified, and you're like, oh no, that's terrible, right? He's dead. Then all of a sudden he's alive, and he's like, you're poking him and stuff, and he's eating food with you, he's walking through walls, and you're like, wow, he's still here, that's cool. And then he goes up into heaven, and he's up there, and he's just saying, wait here for something. My Father's got something for you. So you're waiting. Now, I don't know about you, like patience, maybe not my strong. So you're thinking like I'm gonna give this a few days. I'm gonna, you know, now it's a week. Like, I got to get golfing, man. Like, it's 2 weeks. Like, the game's on, you know, 3 weeks. Like, 50 days. Like, come on. Like, seriously, put yourself there. You're seriously going to come to church day after day, worshiping God as they did. They gathered in the upper room day after day. Like, if we do a revival series here, Pastor Ben and I are feeling it this year. We're going to do a 50-day revival series. You're like, I'm going somewhere else. Like, this church is like, it's losing it. They're getting a little bit loony over there, right? 50 days. You know, I've got to mow the grass. 50 days, you're waiting there, waiting. And then something happens. Just, again, put yourself in the story. Like, I don't know if I would be, you know, like, if you read it, like, the wind, and there's tongues of flames on people, and there's, like, this language coming out. Like, what is going on? You might be a bit frightened. You might even be puzzled. You're thinking about all these uneducated people, men and women, and the force that came out of that was a reckoning, and it affected the whole world, and 3,000 people came to Christ that day in that moment. Wow, like that's a big moment. There's something wonderful going on in that moment, but it started with just a small group of people for days and days and days until, pow, something gave loose. It's almost like that septic tank. It was there for years and years and years and flushes and flushes. And one day, boom, the lid busted off. That's not good anyway. I apologize. That's a terrible illustration. But you know what I'm saying? Like something gave way. And so when I encourage you to pray as a church, I want to remind you, because maybe you weren't here the last couple Sundays, so we got a slide here this morning. I want to show you some of the ways that our church prays. And I want to explain to you why I think it's so important, for many reasons of why I believe in this so strongly. So Thursday at noon, you could come back here in the prayer room behind this wall. There's prayer and fasting here as a church. So skip your lunch, come and pray with us. Saturday night, there's a handful of us coming here Saturday night, just praying, reading scripture, praying over the building, walking through every aisle. Every seat that you've sit in this morning has been prayed for that Jesus would show up in your life. Sunday morning, just before the service, there's a bunch of us in the back room again, worship team, lots of people, 9 a.m. And there's a prayer calendar, so over at the Welcome Center, you just pick a day on the calendar, say number one, my name. So every first of the month, that means you're going to pray for our church and that kind of stuff. Because I believe in it so strongly that when I see this kind of scripture, it makes sense to me. Because when I think about, there's a few of us here last night praying together. And it seems small. We would say, oh, there's only, only three of you coming and praying. Like, what can God really do with just three people? Oh, man, come on. Like, we're starting a fire. I'm a pyro. I love fire. And so I visualize that. You know, I walk through these chairs. And, oh, Jesus, just start a fire and burn this place down. You know, because it takes a little bit of effort, a little bit of energy. And what becomes, as we see in our communities, we see around our Canada right now, just up in flames. Where did it start? It started with some embers. And I believe that as we get together on Thursdays, Saturday nights, Sunday mornings, as all of us pray one day out of the month, out of the week, that we're starting a fire in different areas. And I want you to picture it like this. When we think, you know, there's some people in our church that are full of fear. Well, we're going to start a fire on fear. We're going to burn fear to the ground. There's some people that are full of anxiety. We're going to burn anxiety to the ground. There's some people that have some addictions in their lives. We're going to burn addictions right out of them. You know, there's our community that's really, you know, there's a lot of, you know, alcoholism and drug addiction, all that kind of thing. We're going to burn it to the ground. Alcohol burns anyway. Start it on fire in Jesus' name. So whatever it happens to be in your life, just know that somebody is praying that it would burn in Jesus' name. And it's going to take some effort, though. It's going to take a lot of us. So again, I'm praying in Jesus' name. I'm going to keep pitching this to you until I see the whole place packed. Prayer room. Thursdays, Saturdays, just come and pray. Just, it'll bless you. I promise you, it will minister to you. And then we'll allow God, because we don't want to control him. We'll allow him to do whatever he wants to do. Hallelujah. Sometimes in our services, it'll be nice and orderly and, you know, altar time be great. And there'll be some times when, you know, we just really feel like, just like, oh, more music, you know, give me an altar call. Give me you know, what's the song when you say, when you're at a concert, you say, give me another one. Encore. Thank you. My brain's a little slow today. I'm a little mushy. Give me an encore. Like, I don't want to leave here. I want more of this. And so would we be a church like that? I really pray. And I hope that resonated with you and it made sense that Pentecost, 50 days, it's massive. That he took something that he didn't want to write. This is not, and I thought, this will preach so well. It's not this, because in the Old Testament, we would see prophetically people speaking into the New Testament about, like, take away my heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh. It actually doesn't cross-reference with that, but it's the same thought process, isn't it? Don't give me a bunch of rules. It's not helping me, but come into my heart. Holy Spirit, would you come into my heart? I just want to pray with us that we would say to the Lord, like, Lord, I want to open the door. I want to open double doors. I want you to come right in. Not afraid anymore. I'm not going to just have a little crack of Holy Spirit. I want it all. And then whatever God wants to do, God will do. And we'll let him do that. And so let's just close in prayer now. Let's, again, bow our heads, close our eyes. That's really not super scriptural. It's just more or less distraction. So, Father, this morning, your word is so refreshing. And it brings so much truth to our reality. This isn't just written, you know, thousands of years ago for a certain bunch of people. It actually was written because it's personal to us today. And so, Lord, thank you for teaching us through your word, your truth about Pentecost, about Holy Spirit. And as we learn principles, biblical principles about you and your word, we want to apply them to our lives. And so we're sitting here this morning just very humbly asking. You always say to ask. And so we're going to ask as a church, as individuals. We're asking that we would receive Holy Spirit this morning. And Father, I feel like there's areas of our lives where we're just kind of hanging on to. We're like, well, I don't want Holy Spirit. I don't even want God to know these areas. And I just pray that we would just really gently swing that door wide open so Holy Spirit could come in and do the things that he wants to do. Because we know, Holy Spirit, that you're gentle and you're loving and you're encouraging and you would speak truth into that situation and you'd flip it upside down on its head. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you use images like fire in your word. And so we pray in Jesus' name that all of these areas that we're far from you, that are maybe false doctrine, false thinking, things that we've kind of just come for the ride, generational things. We pray right now in Jesus' name that that would be set afire. and so that it would burn to the ground so that you could build a wonderful foundation in our lives. Father, we don't want to be fearful. We don't want to be full of anxiety. We don't want to be addicted to the things and pleasures of this world. We want to be lovers of God. We want to be lovers of your word. We want to worship you and honor you. And I just know, God, as you do that in us, as I just felt I wasn't even able to sing this morning in worship because I'm not feeling 100%, but that you were still ministering to me because I felt free. Even though I've got things in my life, I still felt free. So I know we've got things in our lives. We're not perfect. We get that. But we love you, and we want to honor you, and we want your name to be lifted high in our church, in our community, and in our personal lives. In Jesus' name, amen.